All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? Do you guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars?
We put the picture's name on everything.
Oh, look, he's got a billion toys.
Baseball's the t-shirt.
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run?
Baseball's the lunchbox.
I have to possess this comic.
Baseball's the breakfast cereal.
I have Amigo Isis action figure.
Almighty Isis.
Baseball's the coloring book.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Shut up, kid. You weren't even born when Star Wars came out.
You fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want.
And you are...
I don't remember. It's been so long.
I know, that's fantastic.
It's been like 3 or 4 months since we've done this?
No. It hasn't been that long.
Wasn't it like October when we recorded the last
one? I don't think so.
It feels that way.
We couldn't be that much ahead on the news.
I am OG.
You sure?
I think so.
I am Big Kev.
Are you sure?
I'd have to be.
You're not Blue Devil.
Who would be... me, who would claim to be me who wasn't me?
Absolutely no one that I know.
See, not me. Definitely not me.
See, that's what I'm saying.
And no, I'm not Blue Devil with two L's on the end.
Sure.
On the Kirin Tor server of World of Warcraft.
No, you're not at all.
No. We actually had a couple of fans who came on the server and were saying hi to me and stuff. Nobody giving me any money, but...
Well, who wants to give you money? It's just the same way in real life.
Just some gold.
No one wants to give a shite.
Speaking of money in real life.
Uh-huh.
Still available on our website. Flash Gordon commentary with Sam Jones and Melody Anderson.
Ooh, dolly.
You can still get one of our signed, numbered, limited edition DVDs that features the audio content. The video of that audio content and the video of our last live XM show on XM 202, and I might have a tease for you at the end of the episode about XM, by the way.
Oh, really? For me? I shouldn't be in the dark about these things.
I like keeping you in the dark. It keeps you on your toes.
That's not right.
That's available on the website. You can go over there, or you can just get the audio commentary. You can just get that. And you can watch it, play the audio commentary, and it's like watching the movie with Sam and Melody.
It's kind of like throwing your own personal Sam and Melody party.
It is. It is. And the discs, we're shipping out the discs this week.
Wow.
It's true. And they're here, and they're done, and they're beautiful. So let's take this moment again to thank Sam Jones, Melody Anderson, Bob Lindemeyer, fantastic, you, me, Alpha Graphics of Montclair, of course, the great Bald Cooper, and everyone else, including my girlfriend Liz, who worked on this project, and it's finally, kind of hitting the tail end. So, if you're interested in those limited edition DVDs, you really should pick those up while they last. There's only a few numbered ones left.
Okay.
I mean, very few numbered ones left. So.
All right.
I want to get those.
All right. I want to get on with the episode.
Okay.
Do you have anything to talk about?
Do you? What, it's my responsibility?
Was I supposed to be prepared? I thought you were prepared.
I have to kick off everything now?
No. Let's talk about Terminator. I don't know why, other than to say it has been 100% confirmed Arnold Schwarzenegger will not be in the next film.
Good.
Or the next three films, because it's actually a trilogy that they're launching.
Good. He's played out and done. But is Christian Bale going
to
be...
Christian Bale, as far as I know, is still tied to the project.
Tied to it? Tied to it. He's going to be...
John Connor.
He's going to be John Connor?
John Connor. Yeah.
You weren't here that week. I think you were, quote, drunk on the floor, unquote. Or...
I may have heard this as well, but I thought that Christian Bale would have been one of the Terminators.
No.
I mean, with a body like that... Man,
You know, we'll get to that. All right. Well,
them abs.
All right. Well, since we're talking about super sexy bodies, fantastic. Let's get right into it. Did you watch American Gladiators?
Yes, I did.
And?
Did you pull one out?
What the hell does that mean?
I don't want to know.
I'm not familiar with that nomenclature.
Yeah, I believe you are familiar.
God, when did this become triple X rated? I thought it was just like
explicit. It's tagged explicit. We can say things like we would normally talk.
So I watched it, and I was surprised at how similar to the original Gladiators it ended up being.
And as far as content.
As far as content.
Yes.
The types of games that they play.
Yes.
There's a couple new games in there.
Mm-hmm.
But in spirit, it's really just like another season of Gladiators. Different announcers, different players in the game, but it's just more of Gladiators.
This is the incredibly divorced Hulk Hogan, and I'm inspiring all of my Hulkamaniacs to watch the new American Gladiators.
No, actually, he calls them Gladiator Maniacs, I believe.
Does he?
Is what he's using on the show now.
Gladiator Maniacs. Yeah. Oh.
Hulk Hogan looks funny now. He's like a deflated balloon. His face is like completely deflated.
It's like someone popped a pin in the 24-inch python.
Well, how old is he? 80? 90 now?
No, I think the last time I knew his age was probably about 10 years ago when he was like 46. So he's got to be 56, okay. Almost 60, if not 60 already.
Getting up there.
I'd like to talk a little bit about the gladiators themselves.
Okay. Are there any, I got to know, are there any returning gladiators?
Not that I've seen
so
far. No,
although they better have some of them come back. They better have Malibu come back because he was the funniest, dorkiest surfer, long-haired blonde guy you could ever have.
All the old American Gladiators to me were just kind of like bodybuilders, right?
Yeah, it seemed that way.
The new American Gladiators, they're like WWE stars. Like, as far as their body shape and their little character and their little attitude, it's like WWE. Even the girls are like divas, like bulked up divas.
Yeah, you can tell
they're
that
they're a lot prettier.
They've
than
made
the
a decision.
Original.
They made a decision to kind of brand each one as a certain archetype.
Uh huh.
And what's the guy who has the blonde hair? He's kind of the Thor looking, patriot looking type guy. He's very.
Oh,
I totally forget his name.
Not Wolf, because that guy howls.
No,
you
because
be able to
exactly.
Him.
And Toa, who speaks in some foreign tongue,
it's
some jungle
to be
tongue.
Samoan, I believe.
Oh my God, it's so ridiculous. But the action itself isn't that bad. One of the women. Gladiator Crush mm-hmm. is Gina Carano from the IFL Fight League, and I had recognized her instantly, and I said, Gina Carano's, and I thought she was going to be competing.
And then
I realized she's one of the gladiators.
She's pretty hot, actually.
Yeah, she's good. Well, you should see her fight.
Yeah, she's pretty hot. But what do you think about Helga, H-E-L-L?
I didn't actually watch any of the parts with Helga as a gladiator, but I did see her in the introductions and the little snippets, and she is one hell of a woman.
She's a thick lady.
Hell with two L's?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that would be.
Oh, I didn't do that on purpose either. But, oh, yeah, and that's it. I mean, it's so predictable in that they go for every little joke like that, like Helga with two L's. It's if you can see a trite joke coming, they do it, or some kind
campy,
of
campy, cheesy.
Yeah, but exactly.
They have Hulk Hogan as the goddamn host. What do you expect?
But I think they're even feeding lines to the contestants.
Okay, so let's talk about the goods and the bads, because that is my chief complaint. There's too much talking, and there's too much canned talking, because it seems like everything that the contestants say has been written for them and delivered in the worst way possible.
I can't wait to get into the excitement of my next gladiator
no,
challenge.
No, but it's not even like that.
No,
it's
very campy, yeah, very over the top.
It's Sunday especially. Now, it aired twice this week. It kicked off on Sunday, and then it aired again on Monday. Monday was better than Sunday.
So I've heard.
As far as the camp value from the contestants.
Cheesy like Schwarzenegger on WWE cheesy. Like, wow, it's like you put him through the fires of hell. And speaking of hell, I go to hell in my new movie, End of Days. Yeah, like that kind of
like that.
Yes.
Kind of
but
like that.
The example that I can give is there's one new event that's a bridge suspended by two giant towers.
Uh-huh.
And the gladiators intended to run from one tower to another across this bridge, and of course it's like a suspension bridge with no arms, and it's shaking the whole time. And the gladiators, the contestants are throwing these giant
medicine balls
at him to try and knock him off. And the first guy who went, I believe he was from either Long Island or New York or Brooklyn or somewhere.
Yeah, somewhere.
And they tell the story, which is also too long.
Did he stop to flip off the gladiator?
No. But yo. Hulk Hogan, so this guy, you can tell, I mean, you're up there on the podium and you need to be in the zone. You're about to go up against the gladiators. And Hulk Hogan introduces him and then yells up to him and says, I don't know his name, but let's say, for instance, it's Tony. Tony! How are you going to do in this event? And the guy yells back, well, Hulk, I'm used to playing this game with my friends back in New York, but we used to use taxi cabs. And then Hulk Hogan's like, okay, great, go now. And it's the most awkward, stupid interview you could ever imagine. The guy's about to engage in gladiatorial combat, and he's got to come up with this stupid one-liner.
And
they take that out, it's fine.
And what's her name, too, is really kind of useless.
Ali. What's her name?
Layla Ali.
Yeah.
Layla Ali. She's really pretty much useless.
Oh, is that Ali's daughter?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Really?
She's the other host, but she like interviews him after the match or in between. It's
unbelievable.
It's really,
you know, when they're all like tuckered out and they're like, I thought I would do a better job than I did, but it didn't do well.
Now, the Eliminator, I think, is pretty cool. The final event?
The Eliminator, I think, is good as well. I also think it proves one thing about all of the contestants that they've chosen
Which
so
is?
Far. That
none of them
they
have upper body strength.
None of them have any endurance whatsoever, and they select contestants purely based on backstory and on-camera personality.
I do have one glaring problem with the Eliminator, however.
What is it, man?
Both the barrel roll
right.
and the hand bike, is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Both of those events, if you fall off
right.
of them, you don't have to repeat it. You can just run across the platform, climb up the little stairs, and then you move on to the next part. Now, on Monday's show, all four contestants
mm-hmm.
just decided halfway into the hand bike
to just fall.
Fuck this. They fell. They made it across in like 5 seconds, climbed the little ladder, and they were right on. It's almost pointless. I think if they fall, they should have to go back and do it. Make them complete that
like
shit.
Like that ninja challenge.
Well, the barrel roll is ripped right out of Ninja Challenge number one.
Uh-huh.
And if in my theory is that if you put the Ninja Challenge contestants up against the contestants from American Gladiators, any guy in Ninja Challenge would kill them because they're in much better shape. And in Ninja Challenge, you make one mistake and you're done. In American Gladiators, like you say, you can fall off the hand bike and you just, you know, run on the mat to the end and climb the ladder.
Yeah, it seems
and that's
kind of,
it.
That kind of seems silly.
I don't mind the penalty. I think it's fine. It takes a little bit of time to get up the ladder. But you're right. They could just really get a running start, jump to the middle of the thing, and forego the entire event as it is.
With no point penalty. So there it is. There's American Gladiators. It's on Monday nights. You can watch it yourself. Let us know what you think.
The one thing Sundays and Mondays shows have proven is that I have a chance. Hell, Kevin has a chance.
Word.
And with that, check us out on iTunes. And it's the news segment. Sorry, I lost track.
Do you have anything to contribute?
Yes. The New Frontier animated DVD that's coming out will have a companion piece from DC called Justice League, The New Frontier Special, which is a collection of never-before-seen stories written and illustrated by Darwin Cook,
ooh,
including a lost chapter from New Frontier, the initial series that started all of this.
Which the DVD will be based on when it comes out?
Yes, which you can still get the, what is it, the Ultimate
uh-huh.
Edition, right? Is that what they're called? Ultimate? No.
Yeah, it's the two-disc.
Omnibus. No.
Oh, you're
the
talking
book.
About the Omnibus. Oh,
it's
yeah.
It's not Omnibus. It's Absolute
from
DC's. Absolute New Frontier by Darwin Cook. You want to check that out. That's coming out, I guess, right around the time that the movie's coming out. So,
Weta, who we know from the Lord of the Rings films, King Kong, and I guess some other stuff. They're the studio that has been brought on board to design the suits for the upcoming JLA movie.
How on earth did we uncover that gem of news?
I don't know. I found it online.
Really? Because you know that,
that's why I find everything.
That pink mohawk bastard sent me that.
Did he really?
Info, and he goes, hey, this is some good news about the JLA movie.
Well,
no, it isn't.
Well, it is good news.
It
I mean,
isn't.
Weta does good work, and
so
I trust in their product. But if the movie is nothing more than good suits, who gives a shit?
You know what? Weta cannot sculpt David out of fucking shit. All right?
All right.
I'm just saying.
All right.
That's the comparison.
Well, you almost said Michelangelo there. So why don't we talk real quickly about those NECA TMNT toys?
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and like you're thinking to yourself, been done to death.
No,
but
not like this, sir.
You have not, and ladies. You have not experienced, listeners, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles based on the original art of Eastman and Laird.
The art based on
Kevin Eastman and Peter Laird's art and whatever. They worked on them together.
Laird didn't draw. I thought he just
sure,
was the writer on the book.
They all did everything.
Did Eastman? Wasn't he?
They did little things and all kind of little designs and worked it out together. It's
okay.
Based on the original book,
right,
which was created by Eastman and Laird. How's that? Is that better?
That's fantastic.
So what we're talking about here is articulated turtles done in that style, all with the red bandanas and the red belts.
Right.
So none of this blue is Leonardo and green is your mom and
right.
whoever it was.
There was no
the
green.
Color coding that came with the animated right. series, that's gone. It's now the original red, just like they appeared in the comic book in the covers. And they're done in that style.
Yeah, with the kind of like elongated
really?
Neck.
They look like turtles.
Yeah, they look yeah like turtles. Unless like bodybuilders with shells.
Right, exactly.
Question, because yes. I'm not looking at it.
Yes.
Do they have the little tails?
Yes, they do.
Oh, they do have the turtle tails.
Yes, they do have little turtle tails.
Aw.
Now, as exciting as that is, and you're probably looking at some pictures right now.
We hope.
We hope. Well, at least one. at least one. Hopefully, if we're able to get a picture of this, you are seeing what is probably the most exciting about this is that NECA is currently considering doing black and white versions of these turtles with the kind of shading and cross-hatching that appeared in the book.
Right.
So that is fucking fabulous.
All right. Now, there's some good news and, I guess, interesting, factual, some news here. NECA... not typically known for doing variants. Normally, when they do stuff like this, it's even pack outs. So I hope that if they do decide to do it, they either release it as two separate waves.
That seems to be
or
the
they
indication.
Do an even pack out.
Right. The indication we're getting is that they are going to be done that way. Like it's going to be a second release where they'll
right.
all be available.
Good.
And the prototypes that you're seeing were actually done by the Four Horsemen.
Yes.
Isn't that incredible?
Well, the Four Horsemen have been sculpting for NECA now for quite some time. I mean, they've done most of the Nightmare Before Christmas stuff, I think. They did the Masters of the Universe mini statues.
Well,
that they put out.
We know they were doing those.
They've been working with NECA for a bit now, the Horsemen.
Right.
I have another question.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
The turtle that I see looks primarily white, the variant black and white turtle.
Yes.
And for some reason, now I'm not somebody who's read all of the comics from beginning to end, but I remember it being very dark and the turtles being primarily black and not white. That looks like albino Raphael to me rather than a comic book.
Let's take it this way. If you were to take that and put it on a black background, it would probably look more like you're thinking. Plus, I mean, he's just kind of out in the light. He's not done in a particular... you know, like he's not set underground or something like that. The shading that they've done and the cross-hatching that they've done, for example, like here in the mask, is the indentation of the mask. So a natural shadow would fall there from just normal lighting.
I know what you're getting at. I just think that it should be a little bit darker.
Well, maybe it is. That's
well, it's a prototype.
It is a prototype we're looking at. So,
NECA,
that's very exciting. Very exciting.
It looks good, though.
Yeah, I'm
the sculpts are awesome.
I'm jazzed about these. I really, really
are those
am.
More statuesque or like action figures?
No, they are action figures. They're fully
articulated.
Yes.
Cool.
I'm guessing somewhere probably like I don't know 10 or 12 points of articulation. Probably it's basic articulation. I don't think it's going to be like super hyper articulated like Ultimate Bendy Spider-Man, because the figure really doesn't lead itself to that, but I'm sure you'll have some good stuff in there.
I like the little diorama bases that they come on. It looks like I see Leonardo here, and he's right next to a little fire hydrant.
Right. Now, that's also a point of interest, because right now there's a possibility that they're going to release these two different ways.
Okay.
They're going to have, like, a regular version Or rather, a collector's version that would come with the detailed bases like you're seeing here. Fantastic. With the little hydrant and the little, you know, like...
There's got to be a sewer post. Grate. Is one of them a,
yeah,
a sewer?
Looks like
or a,
little,
a manhole cover?
A manhole cover,
like a
rather,
manhole
yeah.
cover there. And a bunch of other... a bunch of other probably accessories or things of that nature. And a more standard version, which they're considering, which would be streamlined, but still can contain the signature weapon. So you're talking about a kind of a, maybe a $3, $4, $5 difference between kind of a streamlined version, which would just be the figure and the weapons, and a version that has the figure, the weapons, the base, probably a bunch of other accessories that we, you know, that we're not thinking of right now, but like a mouser,
yeah.
or something like that. That kind of thing to pump it up for the collectors.
I hope if the line's successful, they run with it and do some more characters.
I hope
Splinter,
so. Too.
You know,
April
Splinter.
April
Neil.
She was kind of a black woman in the original. She yeah. was kind of like a mulatto. She had like an afro. So I don't know how they're going
to
do that, but I'm
see
excited.
Casey Jones.
I, you know what? If they never did another one other than these four,
well,
I'd be fine. If they did them in black and white, also, I'd be really fine with having both of them. That would be great,
of course.
And
because it did appear in color on the covers,
of
the
yeah,
book.
Yeah.
So
well, not all the covers, sir. Not until issue.
Yeah, like
I don't even remember what it was. Whatever the issue.
It was the first like the first four or five issues of the miniseries. I think were all black and white completely.
Oh,
right?
The series, sir, not miniseries. Oh. But yes, they were. And the colors were like two-tone. So like the very first cover was like red or pink or and black and
yeah,
white.
Yeah.
You know, it was like a highlight color or something.
Oh, yeah, like just a, the bandanas
like
were colored or something, wasn't
it?
Something,
yeah,
like
it was
that?
Something like that.
But anyway.
Fantastic says we should move on.
All right. So why don't we move on then to something he may have interest in. How about the G.I. Joe movie?
Tell me something good about it.
Yeah.
Tell me they went back to the original premise and not that it's a bunch of guys out of Belgium.
It's a global force. Everybody's talking about it.
Marlon Wayans is going to be in it.
Oh my God!
as Ripcord,
as a thief, as a second level thief.
Now,
racist.
No, see that was his that was his Dungeons and Dragons role.
That's right.
Yeah, of course he went to racism, but continue.
He went to racism. I went to geekism. It's okay. In addition to Marlon Wayans, who I don't think belongs in the film, we have an actor who I don't know. He's an Asian film star. Byun Lee will be playing
Storm Shadow.
And then we have Adwale Akinnuye Abaje. Is that how you pronounce it?
Is he playing Doc?
Mr. Echo from Lost.
We'll
play
really
heavy.
Funny.
We'll play heavy duty.
That's really funny that you say, is he playing Doc, though? Have you ever seen the Fensler film, G.I. Joe, public service announcement, redub with Doc?
No.
Well, what you should do is go online and look up Fensler Films. It's the public service announcements that came at the end of the G.I. Joe episode.
Knowing is half
completely
the battle.
Completely redubbed with very funny dialogue. And if you look for the one with Doc, you realize why this guy makes a lot of sense.
Okay.
He's not playing Doc, though.
No, he's playing Heavy Duty.
Oh, okay. He's not Doc.
Oh, okay.
Rachel Nichols will be playing Scarlet. Rachel Nichols was in the new Amityville Horror, I believe.
Well, does she have red hair?
She will.
She will.
All right,
and,
close enough.
Did Scarlet had red hair? Baroness had red hair also, right?
No,
she had black hair.
Oh, she was always, yeah, that's right, it was dark black. Sienna Miller doesn't have black hair, they'll figure
Alicia
that out.
Alicia Witt wasn't available?
I guess not. I know, you think Alicia Witt should be any redhead ever. I know, but sometimes I have to find somebody else. And a gentleman by the name of Saeed Tugmedbedbed, who's in The Kite Runner, will be playing Breaker. So, difficult names for a bad movie.
It's fantastic. You psyched?
It gets worse and worse.
All the time.
Wildstorm collected editions will be putting out League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, The Black Dossier, The Absolute Edition, an oversized slipcase edition of the graphic novel by Alan Moore, Kevin O'Neill, which actually has something very exciting on it. It has a 45 vinyl recording of the song Immortal Love, sung by Alan Moore, included in the slipcase.
Did you see Matt's face then? His eyes just were like,
Black Dossier. Come on, it's League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, dude. That's cool stuff.
I can't believe Alan Moore is...
Alan Moore's a little musical, dude.
Apparently he has personality, because have you read that quote from him in regards to the Watchmen film?
No, what is it?
He said that apparently...
I hate all of you.
No, actually, he said that apparently they got it right this time, because he received a package in the mail that just pretty much was a piece of paper that said, I, the undersigned, hereby give you permission to take my name off the film and to send my money to Dave Gibbons. So he signed it and sent it back. That was it. That's all he wants to know about the film.
Yep.
He doesn't want to know anything else. He thinks it's going to be terrible. He wants nothing to do with it. He says now he doesn't have to gripe about it because he's not going to be associated with it.
Unbelievable. Speaking of big, oversized collected editions, Vertigo will be putting out Absolute Sandman Volume 3, including Brief Lives and Ramadan. And the book also includes pinup pages from the Sandman number 50 and Sandman special number 1, The Desire Story from Vertigo Winter's Edge 33, Endless Gallery number 1, script and thumbnails from the Sandman number 50, and a section on the Endless retail products.
We have a little bit more information coming out about those crossover scenes that are being filmed for the Iron Man movie and the new upcoming Hulk movie. This one directly is a scene in the Hulk movie in which we will see Iron Man approach General Thunderbolt. So there you go. So it looks like we have a possibility of Nick Fury playing a role in both films, and now Iron Man is going to make a cameo in the Hulk film. So there you go. Tying it all together.
Just sucks.
I know.
Hey, at least they're doing it the right way. You know? At least they're kind of trying to string it together as the individual films go and not this ridiculous JLA nonsense.
Well,
holy shit.
Because eventually they're going to launch an Avengers movie, but they're going to do individual movies first, because we already know that a Thor movie is in the works and a Captain America movie is in the works. So if you have
Terrified
Cap,
of the Thor movie.
Iron Man, and Hulk, you could add one other... You can add one other new character, two other new characters in the actual Avengers movie itself, have a team film, and if they run with this theme of little tie-ins throughout the thing, who knows? Maybe Iron Man will make an appearance in all of them, or Nick Fury will make an appearance in all of them, or something.
Let me tell you who's going to be making some appearances from DC Direct.
All right.
Joker and Harley Quinn.
Oh, yeah?
In the 12-inch prestigious format that they've been doing.
Right.
With the full articulation and the cloth outfits, you know, things like that. And it's very exciting, sir. They come with...
I know, you're obsessed.
They come with accessories and display stands. It's very exciting.
Aw.
I'm really jazzed. Those figures that they do in that line are really, really good. I have the Batman.
Okay.
Somewhere in Studio A. So actually, I think it's in Studio V over there. And also coming, the stars of Superman Red Sun are going to get a box set. And what's great about the box set is only available in the box set will be the Red Sun Bizarro, who is an awesome-looking figure.
Right.
And he will only be available in that box set. So you got to pick up the box set if you like Red Sun.
That's good. It's a good incentive to buy the set. And it's DC Direct, so you know it's
quality
stuff.
I think I'm going to get it just for that.
On the show, we often talk about how geek culture has slipped its way into aspects of everyday life, and now apparently it has worked its way into our email systems in the form of spam viruses. Apparently there is a new virus going around. The subject of the virus is Hidden Heroes clips yet to be seen on TV. And when you open up the email, it's some sort of Trojan worm virus that will infiltrate your
you got it, didn't
PC.
You?
No, I didn't get it. Luckily, I read about this online first. But so there we go.
So then when he got that email, he didn't open it.
That's right. So when I saw the email, I was like, nah, not getting me. Did you get it, Kev? No, you don't check your email.
I check it occasionally.
Right, once a week.
Well, I'm a busy man. I can't just read emails all day long while I sit at work
and play Warcraft.
So whatever. I think think that's inappropriate of you to say. Would you make it to, speaking of inappropriate,
level 43 in a day or two?
The Ghost Whisperer.
Ah.
That hit series from, I think it's on CBS with Jennifer Love Hewitt, coming to comic books.
How does Love feel about that? Is
thank
she happy?
You, thank you, IDW, I think.
Oh, and, Jesus Christ.
Show writers Carrie Smith and Becca Smith.
IDW will put anything out.
And artist Elena Casagrande are going to be doing this book. And it looks cute. I mean, it, you know, it's a Jennifer Love Hewitt's a good-looking woman.
Wasn't IDW the one responsible for putting out all those books by that Brian Lynch guy?
Screw Brian Lynch. Brian Lynch, I don't return an IM, email, phone message, fax. Ain't that Brian Lynch?
He's a busy man.
Let me tell you something about Brian Lynch. Ever since he did Beauty and the Geek, he's been like, I was on
swollen.
Beauty and the Geek, and I don't want to know nothing from nobody.
What did he do on Beauty and the Geek?
He was did you see it this season, Beauty
no,
and the Geek?
I didn't
he
watch
was
it.
One of the he judges. He was one of the judges in the Create a Superhero contest that
yeah.
they had.
Cool.
Yeah. And ever since then, it's kind of like you can either be in the room or in the room with Brian Lynch and his head. That's kind of the way.
It.
I'm just saying.
That's not nice, sir.
Dennis O'Neill, who knows as much about Batman as anybody on the planet. Actually,
okay.
He knows more about Batman than anybody, I would say, at this point. Has a new book coming out called Batman Unauthorized, Vigilantes, Jokers, and Heroes. Which is a collection of his essays exploring the Bat's motivations and actions. And they're saying it's going to answer such questions as, this is why it's in the news, answering such questions as, why is the Joker so good at pushing Batman's buttons?
All right, of course.
And other questions as well coming out this March. It's very exciting.
Why don't we stick with some comic book related stuff?
Okay.
I've read the new issue of Exiles number one, the relaunch of the book, and I liked it. I thought it was pretty good. I didn't read the end of Exiles. I had quit early on, well, not too early on, but fairly early on in the original story arc. But I didn't think it was a terrible way to kind of relaunch it.
I don't know. I haven't got it yet, but
well, you should read.
Well,
it.
I have it, but I haven't read it yet.
I mean, apparently,
and
somebody else in the studio doesn't think that it was good, but.
Well,
I got the thumbs down, tongue out.
We'll get to him in a minute. Speaking of, can I tell you some exciting comic news?
Sure.
It is.
Hit the shelves this week for only 25 cents. It's Jenna Jameson Shadowhunters. Hello.
Nice.
Hello, people. Are you fucking kidding me?
I thought this age of comic books died in the 90s.
And not only that, it features a nice Greg Horn cover
with Jenna
Jameson unzipping her top and her ample fake cleavage is poking out of it, and apparently she hunts some sort of demons or something in this book. Now, the 25-cent one that you can get has some story pages and, of course, pinups from every geek artist who ever wanted to sleep with Jenna Jameson has done a pinup for this little 25-cent book. And there's also inside, I was flipping through it, there is a letter of explanation from Virgin Comics as to why they are doing this. And they were very excited because, you know, Jenna Jameson, of course, adult film star Jenna Jameson.
Right.
Who, by the way, can I just say something? I'm a man, right?
Yeah.
I've seen some of Jenna Jameson's work. Give me those ribs, you. And I've seen it. And let me tell you, before all the surgery, and she's had a bunch, she was infinitely hotter than she is now. Infinitely hotter.
All right, there it is.
Well, she's had some removal surgery now, right?
Well, I don't know whether she's had removed or tucked or whatever she's had now. I'm telling you, before the surgery, she was incredible. She was one of the most beautiful women I'd ever seen in porn. And I'm talking like her. I'm not saying I own any porn, but I own her second and third videos that she ever made. The first one was a girl, so it's kind of eh. But the first two that she made with dudes, unbelievable, incredible even. And now
you made the
she's
mad cock in your video.
Now she is the star of a comic book, Jenna Jameson, Shadowhunters from Virgin Comics. Ha ha, Jenna Jameson doing a comic from Virgin Comics. Ha 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 ha.
Good one.
Witty.
I don't get it. I agree with you, Matt, on this one. I thought the age of this type of big-breasted, beautiful women with swords, fighting stuff. I thought this went out like 8 years ago.
I'd like to just make one more complaint, and that's in regards to Greg Horn.
Okay.
I think Greg Horn is a wonderful artist. I happen agree. To enjoy his work. His cover work is always very nice.
Yes.
It's always very interesting and titillating at that.
Emma Frost.
But I think I've seen that exact same cover with Emma Frost.
I knew that looked familiar.
It's
close.
It's becoming very kind of... becoming
generic. It's a good-looking blonde woman with big breasts who's doing something sexy. That's just, every time he does anybody.
It just feels generic now, Greg.
I don't know. I like this one. I really like Greg Horn's portrayal of women. He did a particularly good job, I thought, on this cover. It's very nice. And I don't understand. I mean, short of some sort of name recognition sale-wise, I don't understand why they think that this is going to do any good.
Well, it'll probably will do good.
Well, maybe it will, but it's a genre that's passed us, certainly. I just don't get it. And she was at Comic-Con this year.
Was she promoting the book?
Yeah, apparently.
Okay, so there you go.
Signing the deal or whatever she was doing. I don't know.
You want to talk about what came out on DVD?
I don't know. Should we get away from comics?
Whatever. We could come back. We could.
Let's
go.
Do DVDs. All right.
Let's do it quick.
Ready? Here we go. Death Sentence, Sunshine, 310 to Yuma, Super Friends. There. That's what came out.
There
this
it
week.
Is.
No, we got to do a little more than that. Death Sentence, of course, Kevin Bacon movie.
Right.
We got to see a bunch of it out at San Diego this year. Fantastic. The unrated one apparently blows the theatrical version away, and I thought it was really good.
Now, this is based on a novel or a story by the same guy that wrote Death Wish, right? I think that's what Mr. Bacon told us.
Is that what he told us?
During that press junket while we were out in San Diego.
That was so long ago. I don't even remember. But I thought it was fun to hang with Kevin Bacon. Though, that
it was.
Sunshine. Now, Sunshine...
I don't know anything about that one.
Yes,
so.
You do. It's the Danny Boyle films, the guy that did Trainspotting.
Oh, okay.
And whatever the hell Danny Boyle did after Trainspotting. And he did do something after Trainspotting.
I'm sure.
I don't remember what. It's Cillian Murphy and... what's his name? The Human Torch.
Oh.
That guy...
I can't think of his name, but I know who you're talking about.
I can't remember
his name. Anyhow.
And this is the kind of more heady sci-fi thing where they're off trying to reignite the sun. Remember, it's like the best. It is one of the best. If you've never seen it, go Apple.com, Apple Trailers, Apple.com/trailers. Type in the little search thing or anywhere, really. Type in or YouTube, whatever. Type in Sunshine trailer. It's the first trailer for this movie. Is one of the best movie trailers I've ever seen in my life.
All right.
And the film was really great. Now it's on DVD, so you can get it.
Cool.
310 to Yuma, remake of 1957 picture that starred Glenn Ford. This time around stars Russell Crowe.
Christian Bale.
Ben Foster is also in it.
Alan Tudyk.
And I think Peter Fonda, I think, is in it.
Yeah, I believe he has a role in there as well.
And all in 310 to Yuma, now available on DVD. And the Super Friends, now I'm saying this off the cuff because I don't have it here, but it was it Challenge of the Super Friends or was it Super? It was the ones with Zan and Jaina, the Wonder Twins.
Yeah.
Whatever that title was, Volume 1.
I think that's Challenge of the Super Friends.
Is it Challenge?
I think so.
I thought Challenge was...
could be wrong, but I think it's Challenge of the Super Friends.
Whichever one had Zan and Jaina, the Wonder Twins, and the monkey.
Yeah.
Gleep, Gleek, Gloop.
No, Gleep and Gloop were Herculoids.
No, that was not Gleep and Gloop. That was Darno and Igu.
I thought it was Gleep and Gloop.
Maybe it's Gleep and... I don't know. Whatever the damn monkey's name is. You know, the two kids they ripped off from Space Ghost.
Yes, we know.
Right. So... that is now season one or part one or whatever it is available on DVD as well. You should check that.
Okay.
And The Riches, season one.
Oh, right.
Minnie Driver and Eddie Izzard.
Almost worth watching just because of Eddie Izzard's terrible attempt at an American accent.
Yes.
The first couple episodes are so... he is all over the place with that accent. He's no Hugh Laurie, that's for sure.
Well, who is?
No one.
And that's it for DVDs.
All right.
So, oh, wait, two more, what?
What?
Fantastic?
What?
Something?
Huh? Oh, I thought we were going to take a break.
We have just a couple more things. Captain America by Alex Ross poster.
All right.
The redesigned Captain America character.
Hold that up for me, Kev. Oh, that's beautiful.
Isn't
Thank
it?
You.
That's gorgeous.
I love that design.
You know what? The wrapping really makes it worthwhile.
I was gonna save this, but I'm just gonna shove this in here really quick right. because it's really funny. Serenity mug.
Yes. Okay.
New trend is you know, not a new trend, but this is a new thing that's happening with these mugs, these kind of character geek related mugs like Serenity, and you see it from comic books and things. On the bottom of these mugs, which are, I guess, being made in California or being in some way routed through California, because of State of California's Prop 65, which I guess is Proposition 65, which passed, I guess, you now have a label on the bottom of these mugs that reads the following. State of California, Prop 65. This product contains... or may contain a chemical known to the state of California to cause birth defects and other reproductive harm.
Is it done? Is it over?
Yeah, that's it.
So this product contains these chemicals, and these chemicals get into your system if you eat the cup or if you drink something from the cup.
If I suck on the cup, do I get the wait. First of all, let's just take the...
Smash it up and sprinkle it over salad.
I know. Let's take this one step at a time. How about this product contains or may contain?
Well, I'm guessing...
They don't even know.
I'm guessing that it's a generic sticker that they're probably slapping on everything because they may or may not know the contents of the paint, the application... The glaze.
Exactly.
Remember, that product comes from overseas.
But the purpose of putting a sticker on the bottom is to alert you of something.
Sure.
And not to say to you, listen, you may die right now or right now. It doesn't help you that you know that.
Listen. And that's not even the end of my problems with the sticker. How about it contains or may contain, that's fine. A chemical known to the state of California.
Who knows?
To cause birth defects.
The governor?
Jersey don't know. Iowa don't know.
Well, I live in Jersey, so I must be okay.
Maybe only in California.
It's the Oxford syndrome.
Does this cause birth defects in Maine?
It ain't there.
Well, the libertarians can rejoice because it's a state government in action. The federal government does not regulate what's in cups.
I guess not. Wow. This is incredible. And it may cause birth defects or other reproductive harm. What is other reproductive harm?
It renders you sterile.
Wait, does this come on only superhero cups? Because maybe it's an incentive for geeks to purchase the cup.
But not procreate?
Because there's the possibility that you may end up with like super strength.
Maybe.
Or heat vision.
That would be fantastic.
Didn't think that.
Or a little arm growing out of your torso.
Hey, look, I didn't think of that. I'll go sterile if I can fly.
Will you?
Just saying.
Why don't you fly up out of that chair then?
Because I ain't sterile yet.
I see your wife with no bun in the oven.
That's what the pill's for, sir.
And with that, we'll take our first break.
Hey, this is Wally.
And JD.
And we want you to check out the live-action web series here on the only at glintofhope.com.
And if they don't, I'm going to come to their house and rip up the comic collection.
Be nice.
Well, if they don't, I'm going to take their little sister's iPod and throw it down the toilet.
So check out Here on V, the new web series, only at glenofhope.com.
Hey, this is Taimar Guardiello from the movie The Last Dragon, and you are listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
スパイダーマンのテーマをエアロスミスがプレイしています。エアロスミス、スパイダーマンのテーマ。
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 87. Of course, I am OG. in studio with me naturally.
I love
Big Kev.
I love how you ran right over it's episode 87 quickly before he thinks that we haven't named it.
No, I knew we haven't named it.
I'm just saying.
It's the unnamed episode for now. We'll name it eventually. We always do.
We have to name it because if we don't, he will.
Yeah, I know.
And we saw what a disaster that was last time.
Look, we've already scored points with this episode because we've talked about Jenna Jameson. So with a little bit of luck, there'll be a half-naked picture of Jenna Jameson on the website when the episode goes up.
Yeah, half-naked.
That's his M.O.
That is his M.O.
I know. I like it. I got no problem with it.
If you're going to do that, fantastic, at least use the picture that Greg Horn painted of her because that's kind of what we talked about. And I'm sure you'll have it to use. So,
all right.
You know we're both wearing T-shirts from Threadless.com?
I like the Threadless.
That was given to us by my girlfriend.
They were given to us by your girlfriend. I did not see yours.
Cowboys and Indians.
Very nice.
That's funny.
It's very funny.
Yours is funny, though. It's a ping pong guy playing Pong.
He's playing Pong. And Pong is winning, in case you haven't noticed. 8-0.
How do you know that's Pong's score?
Because the top was always on the right. Your score was always on the...
Oh, really?
No, not so, yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah. All right. So Pong is winning.
Okay.
All right.
In studio with us tonight...
Yeah.
...is our friend Puppet Disaster.
Hello.
Yes. Hello,
you can
sir.
Check him out on MySpace. Puppet Disaster...
MySpace.com/Puppet Disaster.
That one.
I think it's that.
I think it's that, too.
It's either that or my name. Oh, I'll just look for Puppet Disaster. You'll find me.
Yeah. We'll put there. A link up somewhere.
There you go.
And he's currently working on a special project for this show.
Oh, is he really?
I don't want to say what it is, but he's working on a special project.
Okay.
Yes.
Uh-oh. Very mysterious.
But he's here tonight because Puppet Disaster, or PD.
All right.
PD and I shop at the same comic shop.
Really?
We have the same dealer.
Yes.
Do you fly out to Retailer X's shop?
Well, once I don't want to say whether if it's Retailer X's shop or not, but Retailer X...
It's not that corner we go to?
Yes. Well, in any case, we had an interesting discussion today. It was actually started by Retailer X because the new issue of Amazing Spider-Man came out today, which is what number?
Well, it is... There's no... 546.
546 wow. came out today, which starts the new story arc for Amazing Spider-Man. And it's kind of a big deal. It's kind of the price is a little higher. Yeah. There was like variants and things that's special. But I didn't understand why. Right. So I asked Retailer X, I'm like, what's going on? He goes, well, don't you know what's going on with Spider-Man? And I said, no, because the last thing I even cared about Spider-Man was the fact that they absolutely ruined his character in Civil War by exposing him. He goes, oh, well, that's all.
Oh, you don't have to worry about that anymore.
That's gone. That's all gone. I'm like, what do you mean it's gone? And he goes, well, in the storyline that was called One More Day.
Which concluded with, ridiculously enough, Nuff said.
That's played out by now, isn't it?
I want to know who titled it.
Joe Q would be my guess.
Yeah, well, we're going to get into Joe Q in a minute. Spider-Man... makes a deal with Mephisto.
Nice.
Really?
No, not that really. Was sarcasm.
In okay. this deal, now apparently Aunt May, this is why Petey is here tonight. Petey, you're going to correct me here when I stray because I'm piecing it together from what I've been told from like four different sources.
Okay.
Aunt May gets shot.
Right.
Yes.
That much
some
I knew.
Dude.
Yes.
Aunt May is 106 years old.
Now wait, pretty hold much. On. Now a quick pause there. Now Aunt May gets shot. Because wasn't he trying to shoot Mary Jane, was it was? And
no,
Peter had to make a choice?
Trying to shoot Peter.
Oh, he was trying to shoot Peter. Okay. Okay. See,
and
I knew that much.
Aunt May steps in the way and gets the bullet.
Exactly. She's heroic.
She's
No, it was accidental.
Well, that too. All right. Well, she's senile.
She's 108 years old, right? And she takes a bullet. Peter is so distraught by this that he makes a deal with Mephisto that if Aunt May doesn't die, or rather Mephisto, does Mephisto come to him?
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
Convoluted?
Well,
what it boils down to is... What's that?
This was like the longest three-day period ever. She got shot, what, in April last
year?
Yeah,
yeah.
So this whole One More Day thing started in June, and it's now January.
Right. It's one more long-ass day.
On top of everything else that's been going on in between there.
Right.
It's like half a year.
Mephisto boils down. Mephisto says, I will make Aunt May not get shot, and you have to give up Mary Jane.
Oh, not just Mary Jane. You have to give up your marriage.
Yes,
that's
your
what he
marriage.
Wants. He wants the marriage.
Okay.
Right.
And
so, and they agree. And not only is it bad because Peter agrees, but Mary Jane also agrees. They're going to wipe any memory of this whatsoever from Mary Jane, from everybody except Peter, right?
No, everybody.
Even Peter won't know.
Yeah, apparently the whole point of it was that Mephisto was going to feed on the misery in that little tiny part of their soul that would remember they were married, but the rest of them would never know.
Which means that, and apparently I guess along with that, Mephisto will erase everyone's mind that they all know who Spider-Man is.
Well, at the end of, when Mary Jane says, no, we should do this, she has a
is the disturbing part, a disturbing part of this.
Right. There's a little proviso that she throws in there on top of making some kind of separate side secret deal with Mephisto that you don't really get to see. There's a little tiny word balloon with blurred out tiny little lettering that you can't read. But then she's like, in order for this to happen, nobody needs to know that he gave up his identity. And the new book that came out today starts with this whole two-page kind of like, this is where we're at. And
right.
So you get to the little, this is where we're at. Where is that nonsense?
Oh, and it's it just gets more and more disturbing as it goes along.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Where'd it go? There was a whole ridiculous thing going on in here. Well, anyway, it basically says that, well, this is the new status quo. And yes, people kind of remember Spider-Man giving up his identity, but nobody on the planet remembers who that was. All so right. He's unknown as Spider-Man. He's still unregistered. He's not part of the whole... He was in the Civil War, but he was a non-registered combatant, and nobody knows who he is. His organic web shooters are gone. He's back to the mechanical ones. It's Harry Osborn is alive again. Wasn't he dead?
Yeah.
He's been dead for a while.
Yeah,
well, apparently
so.
He was vacationing in Europe while he was dead.
Oh well, that's a good place to go while you're dead.
So, the questions begin. Where's the kid?
There's one thing. Well, they was do that kind of meet the kid, sort of, in an odd way.
Okay.
During the whole One More Day thing, he's right. Going through this epic quest, going to everybody, goes to Tony Stark, he goes to Reed Richards, he goes to Doctor Strange, all trying to get his Aunt May healed.
Right.
And nobody can do it. Nobody
of course not.
Has that power.
No one has the power to fix a bullet wound except exactly. Mephisto.
Well, she's 107. Her skin's so, kind of fleshy.
Can I ask? You know, I watch ER. Right. We all talk about how much I watch there's the ER theme music. And we all know that I'm incredibly in touch with the things that are happening on ER. I pay attention. I learn.
Okay.
They have unplugged people for fucking sniffles. And here's Aunt May is 100 and bazillion years old, and she has a bullet wound, and he's like, no, let's keep her alive another week.
They have that same discussion, and they decide, no, let's sell our souls and keep her alive.
It doesn't make any goddamn sense.
So this is, in some odd way, in some we'll never admit this way, this is Marvel's way of
slapping us all in the face.
Trying to correct problems that people had with the Spider-Man storyline that was destroyed as part of Civil War.
Yes, by creating entirely new problems.
Right, which what will happen now is a year from now or 6 months from now or something like that, Mary Jane and Peter Parker will fall in love as though they've never known each other or whatever, and eventually they'll end up married and blah, and it'll and
wait,
like 3 years
down.
From now none of this will have. It'll just be a memory.
Slow down. What about the kid?
Okay. When he's going on his mystical journey, he ends up meeting this dude in a park. And he's talking to this guy, and he
just randomly.
There's like four different random people he meets. And he meets this dude, and he's talking to him about being a hero and this, that, and the other thing. And from there he goes and meets another guy who's like a scientist millionaire. He's talking to him for a while. Then he meets this kind of schlubby guy who plays video games all day and lives a hero's life through video games.
Okay.
And he bumps into this little girl who's talking to him, and she takes him on the rest of the journey, and then he meets some really hot woman. you find out that those were all the three guys were possible future versions of Peter if he had never gotten powers. If he had not been powerful and he decided to go into himself and be just kind of nerdy and geeky, he would have been this video game tester dude. If he had decided to throw himself into his science, he might have ended up being this kind of Tony Stark-esque guy drinking martinis in the back of a limo. And he could have just been this old man who had been a hero at one point but had given it up. Or what you find out is this little girl could have been their possible daughter.
Okay.
And then at the when he makes the deal, he finds out that that could have been your kid, but now it's never going to happen because you made this deal with me. And they both scream no.
Don't they have a child?
I thought they did.
Do they have a child?
I thought they had a child.
Somebody told me it was stillborn.
Yeah, I don't think Mary Jane actually ever gave birth to a child.
I thought that...
There was a Preggers storyline, yeah. But I don't think she ever actually gave birth.
I thought gave birth and then the child got snatched by somebody.
No, I don't think so.
I don't know.
I don't think so.
Oh, man. You guys would know more than I.
No, shit.
No, I honestly, I don't think so. I mean, I haven't read the book in a while, but I kind of still followed it on the fringe.
Okay. Spider-Girl.
What about her?
Well, who is she?
The other book?
Yeah.
I think that's supposed to be a super future version of where Peter's got one arm or something.
It's the grown-up daughter of Peter and Mary Jane.
Unless it's some kind of Marvel
anomalous.
Oh, God.
She's in exile.
Well, I mean, let's just say it would require them to have continuity. So, yeah. I mean, there you go.
Right.
So, all right. So now what happens in this issue today? So basically what we have is Peter Parker makes a deal with the devil to give up his marriage to Mary Jane.
Now
and they're never going to remember anything. He loses the organic web shooters. He loses, apparently he gets Harry Osborn back. And
that's a shitty deal.
Which is just...
Loses Mary Jane but gets Harry Osborn?
It's just, it's so trite.
The only hope I
have... And now the new series starts and what... all right, so let's conclude one more day. One more day, so Aunt May is alive.
Aunt May's alive.
And still kicking it at 98.
He wakes up at the end of, or in the middle of this last issue of One More Day before the Brand New Day storyline, which has just started. He wakes up, he's lying in bed, and...
Alone.
And he's not living in an apartment anywhere or in the tower. He walks down the stairs. He's back in the house in Queens with Aunt May. And he has to find a job. He has no work. He's unemployed. Spider-Man hasn't been seen in months, so he's got no photographs to take. Goes out, hangs out at this club, or goes to a party, sees all these people who I thought were dead and no longer involved in his life in any way. And Harry Osborn's there, and they're all drinking and partying. And they make this toast, and you're kind of left thinking that maybe Mephisto is Harry Osborn, which is possible, kind of devilish. But the next issue, he's out looking for work. There's a mugger dressed as Spider-Man.
Nice.
Which means kind of clever, but why?
Well, because he hasn't been seen for months.
He hasn't been seen for months, but his Halloween costume sold gangbusters.
Yeah, man.
There you go. So he's looking for work. New villain, Negative Man.
Now, is this Straczynski?
No, this is the last issue of Amazing Spider-Man part 4 of 4. That was Straczynski's last, I believe.
Thank God.
Because there's a little, at the very back page, there's a little thank you page to everyone. Brian Bendis, Jeff Loeb, John Romita, Harlan Ellison, Kevin Feige, Mark Miller, and Stan Lee all say, great run, blah, blah, blah.
Nonsense.
Just for shits and giggles. While they were doing all these things, while they were changing things and getting rid of people and bringing people back, they should have just brought back Uncle Ben.
That would have been clever.
No, it wouldn't.
Give us something fun.
It
would have been terrible.
There's
You're
no
right.
permanency in comic books.
Right.
But
that's
we know
my
that.
Point.
But we know
if
that.
If they're doing all these other ridiculous things, why not bring back Uncle Ben?
And to call him ridiculous is really underplaying it because it's retarded.
Although, admittedly, as a ploy, right, as a marketing ploy, if you want to see it as that in some way, shape, or form, I am intrigued now and will more than likely go out and pick up that issue and maybe even read the next two or three. So maybe somehow...
three times this month.
Huh?
It comes out weekly now.
Oh, it's weekly? Okay. So maybe Marvel now has, even though it's like a train wreck, I think I know it's going to be terrible, But there's a small aspect of curiosity in being a Spider-Man fan.
Want to see how they're going to fuck it up again?
I mean, I'm not going to lie.
I mean, let's be honest. Since the Clone Saga, has there been anything good about the Spider-Man book?
No.
And I'm not saying the Clone Saga was good. I want to make sure that I'm getting that out there.
No. Animal totem thing with that character, Elijah, I think the character was, right? That was Straczynski's original run, I think, wasn't it?
When he started.
Yeah, that was kind of weak and shitty, too.
That
so
was interesting to a point.
Yeah, I mean,
the good one was the 9/11 tribute one. That was a good book.
Yeah,
that
was
well done.
But
I remember reading that.
No, it's... No, but
to
be honest with you,
because that would be bad.
I don't think none of them have been.
That. Yeah. Can't criticize.
A lot of them haven't been good in a long time.
Of course, but I mean, this is just like
I don't mean Spider-Man. I mean in general, X-Men hasn't been good in a long time.
Do you want the surprise ending of this issue?
No. Well, hold off on the surprise ending. Well, first of all, if we're going to do that, you know, we got to play the spoiler alert.
I think this you should play it before this whole segment. At this point,
yeah, I will. I won't. Oops. Should have stopped. Should have played that earlier.
My bad.
But that said, isn't this all spinning out of Joe Quesada's hatred of the marriage between Spider-Man and Mary Jane?
That's been my understanding of it.
Why does he hate the marriage of Spider-Man?
He says it never should have happened, and he's been saying it forever.
Yeah, but...
And is he quoted as saying that he's been looking for a way to end this marriage for years?
I think one of the things that has always worked for Spider-Man, one of the things that has always made him a dynamic character, is that when it boiled down to it, he really was just this kind of fanboy, nerdy kid with the beautiful wife. I mean, Peter Parker was a really rich, lucky character, and it he was someone that you could kind of look up to and someone you can kind of appreciate. And that marriage was an important aspect of that dynamic of Peter Parker. So to say it's shitty, boo to Joe Quesada. And who the fuck is he? I mean, I know he's editor in chief, but really.
He's the guy in charge of fucking up.
But I haven't heard an outcry from Marvel fans or from Spider-Man fans that are like, we hate Mary Jane, the marriage to Mary Jane.
No, but there is an outcry of hatred now.
Okay, in the other direction. That's what I'm saying. So who is Joe? It's just Joe pulling out his prick and waving it around and saying, I have the control to do this.
That's what we've been saying all along, is that this whole megalomaniac movement by Joe in this case is to just... I'm going to do whatever I want to do. I'm going to do whatever I think is cool. Well, I don't like Mary Jane and the marriage, so I'm going to get rid of it. Hey, Joe, how about somebody shoots her through the head? Done. That would have been more exciting. That would have been a more interesting turn for him than him making a deal with Mephisto. Well, why didn't Captain America make a deal? Why didn't Mephisto go to Captain America and make a deal that Iron Man should have died? I mean... This is such a stupid tool to use. It's like a Chris Claremont maneuver. It's like, well, I don't know. I've written myself into a corner.
Well,
let me grab a character from the future and bring him back.
It's the Chris Claremont get out of jail free card.
That's what it is. So what now? Every character is going to have to deal with Mephisto. If they want their original shit back.
Well, you know what? I mean, but see, at least if they did that, if they ran with it, right? And they made it this recurring thing in a bunch of the Marvel books. Like maybe Tony Stark had something. Maybe someone makes a deal to bring Cap back, making a deal with Mephisto. If they ran with it and it didn't stop with just Spider-Man,
it would suck balls.
Yeah, but at least it would have legs, and at least it would be interesting and make sense.
There would be no continuity in whatever.
It's a Mr. Clean wall eraser.
I know. Whatever is left of continuity in Marvel, this maneuver sets up the destruction of whatever continuity
is
left.
Because Spider-Man's in what? New Avengers, right? And a bunch of other.
He's
in
every book.
In that book, they had
the Iron Spider.
They had done something to get rid of him being his identity. He was part of this elite group, and he was being expelled, so he was no longer a Spider-Man. Because they had these other Spider-Man characters.
Yeah.
They didn't need to do this if they were just trying to get away from him revealing his ID, because it's already been done a couple times throughout those series.
You know, I like these storylines where they're kind of trying to do something different with these characters, and it's not simply Spider-Man going up against the Rhino who's trying to rob a bank for the 80th time and gets captured and defeated and in jail, and then he's free again. I mean, I understand the desire and need for them to tell different stories other than that. What I don't understand is, if you have gone so far as to print what you have done so far, you cannot go back and rewrite it now by having some magical Mephisto deal appear so he can suck off the little tiny nugget that they'll remember that they were married. The fuck does that mean?
But this really is only the newest bead on a long beaded chain in Marvel history. I mean, this isn't the first time that something like this has been done in a major Marvel book.
Okay.
It's the latest bit in a trend that's been going on for 15 years or whatever the hell it is.
Right. PD, what is the secret surprise ending of the book?
Ooh, this is a good one. Now, we all know that Aunt May was almost dead. At the very end of this issue, Peter gives J. Jonah Jameson a heart attack.
Nice.
A massive coronary. And the next issue apparently is titled, well, this is next week, JJJ is dead? Who knows?
Is dead question mark?
Oh, yes, of course it is.
So what they
again,
have to
I'm
do
I'm still
now?
Thinking that, if anything, hopefully this is just some kind of weird limited story arc that is going
dream.
To... end up being a dream and disappear after 3 or 6 issues.
You know what? It's the ghost of Christmas yet to come.
And if
Peter's
going
to have a way to go back and correct it.
Well, if that's the case... Yeah, exactly. And if that's the case, what do they go back to? Do they go back to pre-One More Day, where Aunt May dies from that bullet wound like she should?
They should kill Aunt May off.
Do they go back before that, and it's just everybody knows who Spider-Man is now, which, of course, is back to ruining the character. And, of course, they had to make that line. They had to correct that mistake. Remember I said when we were covering Civil War? I said, you watch, you're going to do something stupid to correct this mistake. Well, here's the stupid thing.
There you go.
I mean, why? What purpose does that serve to this storyline that nobody knows who he is? Except to say, well, it was a mistake for us to have done that.
I think Peter and Mary Jane should fall back in love, and then Harry Osborn should throw off a bridge.
That would be awesome.
The only thing obvious going on throughout the story, especially this first issue, is that he is constantly being bombarded with temptation, and more than Peter would normally have, because like the first scene, he walks into a club, and this girl jumps on him and kisses him, and he's like, I don't know who that is, and it happens again. Another girl's after him, and you know, it's just all kind of weird, and so that's why, I don't know. I hope it's the limited thing, because... It already, aside from being ridiculously late, it screwed up several other stories that tie into what's going on after Civil War with Peter Parker and all that. So.
Well, see, I'm intrigued now, so I'm going to end up picking up the issues.
I'll just stick with Ultimate Spider-Man. At least that's consistent.
Yeah, there you go.
They brought back the Goblin in that book, right?
Yeah, but not for long.
Yeah.
You didn't get that far yet?
No.
All right. I won't tell you anything.
Okay.
But next week's going to be good.
Okay.
Spider Friends.
Spider Friends.
Yeah, the Human Torch. Or no, the Starfire or something, or Sunfire, or Fire Girl, whatever, the Fire Girl.
Firestar.
Yeah,
Firestar.
Spider-Man and his Amazing
Iceman.
Friends, right?
Yeah, Spider-Man and his Amazing Friends.
Oh, in Ultimate.
That's next week.
That's so funny.
That's pretty funny.
I'm looking forward to that one. That's
All right.
Let's take a break and come
I
back
need a break.
With a quickie product segment.
Yes, let's.
Welcome to the Nerd World Order!
Nerds are comic book readers, gamers, anime and manga fans, sci-fi and fantasy fans, action figure collectors, or anyone else that chooses to represent the nerd lifestyle. There has never been a clothing line for us to identify as our own, so the NWO was born.
The Nerd World Order is the clothing company for nerds, NERDZ.
A new breed of nerds.
A breed that's in your face.
A breed that's in control.
A breed that doesn't back down.
No dumbass phrases on NWO t-shirts. No fanboy art on NWO t-shirts. Just badass designs for a new breed of nerds.
Take one brief look at the Nerd World Order slogan, Nerds rule! You have now begun the Nerd World Order experience.
Nerd World Order clothing is all about representing who we are.
Find the Nerd World Order at nerdzrule.com.
Go to nerdsrule.com now to enter to win a free NWO t-shirt.
Nerds rule!
Hey, this is Rob Paulson, better known as Pinky.
And Maurice LaMarche, better known as The Brain. Yes. And you are listening to Big Kev's
Geek Stuff.
Narf. Quiet, Pinky, I shall have to hurt you.
The Pinky and the Brain.
Narf.
We are back. Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 87. Not yet named, but we will have one by the end of the wrap-up.
We hope.
But we got some product review for you this segment. Why don't we start off with what you have over there, Kev?
All right, it's a quickie one, so let's kind of
we're going to boogie, it. Baby.
This is Justice Series 7 from DC Direct. These are the figures based on Alex Ross's artwork for the miniseries Justice. And in this series 7, you get armored Aquaman, armored Superman. Now, with these armored pieces, some part of this storyline has to do with them needing armor.
I thought it was the Metal Men.
What do you mean, the
Metal Men? Wasn't the Metal Men on their armor in Justice?
Is that what it is?
I think so.
Is it the Metal Men that's
forming
their armor?
I think it's the Metal Men themselves covering them as
really?
Their armor or making the armor or something like that.
That would be awesome if that's true.
I know they featured in this story.
I haven't read a single issue of that series yet. Let me tell you why. Because I like to read that stuff all at one clip, so I'm waiting for the book. But if that's the case, that's really cool. And Superman does look rather reminiscent of one of the Metal Men.
Yeah.
So if that's the case, that's really cool.
There you go.
That said, there's two other characters in the line, and it is the Green Lantern, but it's the John Stewart Green Lantern.
Right.
A little side note about this today. Unpacking the case, I check out each figure before I get them. Right? And there was a kind of perhaps an unintentional variant in the John Stewart figure.
Uh-oh.
Usually when they do the skin tone on these figures, they use a matte paint to do it so it's not, you know, shiny and plastic looking, right? It's nice. But there was one of the John Stewarts that had a shiny paint. So I already have fondly named him a sweaty Green Lantern. and I didn't pick him up. I got the regular one because I like him. So keep your eyes out for sweaty Green Lantern, I guess. John Stewart from Justice Series 7. And, of course, Gorilla Grodd.
Oh, I don't have a clue who that character is.
He's a talking gorilla.
Well,
he's a talking genius gorilla.
Well, that's with telepathic powers.
Yes.
Oh, well. Yes. And it wouldn't be crazy if he wasn't a telepath.
Well, that's true.
Right. And he's big and bulky and basically a giant gorilla dude.
It's a nice sculpt.
It is a great sculpt. I mean, all of these, they're sculpted really well. They're based on Alex Ross designs. This is series 7 in this. I forgot how many of these series had already come out. It's incredible. And we should mention at this point also that series 8 is coming out in August, and it includes Supergirl, Batgirl, Toyman and Captain Cold is what they're saying. Cool. Supergirl, Batgirl, Toyman and Captain Cold in series 8. It's the same DC quality that you're used to. They're incredible figures. The Alex Ross designs, of course, are well appreciated, and it's kind of the very kind of the heroic presentation that I love about the Alex Ross artwork and the translation into the figures. That said, they are now going to do JSA figures based on Alex Ross's work on the JSA covers that he's been doing for the last few years. So that's going to be really exciting. And I know that's coming up in 08 as well.
Very nice.
Or,
we'll
or 08 or late 08 or early 09.
We'll probably see or hear about some of that at Toy Fair coming up next month.
We may indeed.
Would be my guess.
What do you have?
Here in front of me, I have the Malcolm Captain Mal Reynolds bust, sculpted by Gentle Giant, distributed by Diamond Select, is a numbered piece, one of 1,000, and I love it, naturally.
I'm a little confused because now you said there was some special way that you had to get this, right?
It was not distributed to retailers. It was available through a website who it's eluding me right now. But if you go back to not our last XM show, but the XM show before that one,
mm-hmm.
we talked about it. That was the one where we had Scotty Schwartz in studio. We talked about it during that show. And I'll go through and I'll dig out the website and I'll make sure to post it online if anybody's interested. I don't know if any are left or not still. But
It's actually one of the finer pieces from Serenity that I've seen.
Well, yeah. You know, I've been kind of... I've been kind of so-so on the statues that Diamond Select has put out. I liked River Triumphant. I thought that was a good statue.
Mm-hmm.
I was not at all enthused by the Inara statue. And the Zoe statue did the same thing. I really kind of thought it was crummy. I saw this. I was like, wow, it's really fantastic. Who did they change the sculpt? And then I saw that it was sculpted by Gentle Giant. And so I think they went out of their... Whoever was doing those other statues,
right.
They went to Gentle Giant. It's a great collaborative project.
Nice pose.
It is a nice pose. And the exciting part about it is that it's online when you order it. It says that it is the first in a line of new collectible Serenity busts by Gentle Giant and Diamond Select.
Wow, that's awesome.
So hopefully we'll see a handful of the crew more. I hope that we actually get to some of the characters that I want because undoubtedly you know next will be... my guess would either be Summer or Jane. They'll never get to Wash and Kaylee, probably would be my guess. Those would be the last two. Oh, no, actually, maybe the Doctor, Simon. Maybe Simon will be last. But anyway.
PD, were you a fan of...
I know that came from something. I'm not sure what.
I ain't saying. Lightning Bug?
TV show that it's based on.
What's the other word for that?
What's the TV show? Serenity's a movie, as you all know.
Firefly.
Take my love, take my land, take me where I cannot stand. I don't care, I'm still free. You can't take the sky from me. Take me out to the black. Tell them I ain't coming back. Burn the land and boil the sea. You can't take the sky from me.
And there it is, of
Bastards.
Course.
I hate you all. All of you. It's a conspiracy,
What's
I tell
What's wrong with
you.
A running gag?
Yeah.
Absolutely nothing.
What's wrong with a little continuity?
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with a little
What
continuity.
Are you, Joe Quesada?
That's right. You can call me Joe Q.
What else? You got another piece over there. Not to in any way take away from that fabulous bust.
No, and
which
like
I said,
I'll get the website for everybody, and I'll put it online as soon as
okay.
we have the episode up.
Over at BigKevsGeekStuff.com.
Over at BigKevsGeekStuff.com. What I have here is another one of my fantastic Christmas presents. This is a book put out by Orchard Books. This is Star Wars, A Pop-Up Guide to the Galaxy.
I heard about that.
It is amazing.
It looks
okay.
cool.
Why don't you pop it up?
Aside from the fact that it is a pop-up book, it is an intricately detailed pop-up book. I mean, like, the pop-ups are really good, but in addition to the pop-ups on each page, you have these little fold-outs on each page with maps of the galaxies, information about... droids, weapons, machines, characters, planets. I mean, and the pop-ups are I mean, look at that Rancor. That's amazing.
That is cool.
That
I mean,
that AT-AT was very dynamic.
Yeah, I
don't think they ever moved that well.
No, not nearly. For any Star Wars fan, this is a must have.
What kind of engineering has to go in to making a pop up book like this?
This is the one that impresses me more than anything, because
the entire cantina.
It's the entire cantina scene. I mean, I think every Greedo and Luke and Obi-Wan and Chewie and
is Greedo dead yet?
No, Greedo is not dead. He's actually not even sitting at the table with Solo. Solo is sitting
at the
table by himself.
Over here next to the devil dude.
Solo.
Yeah. So you got Muftak in there, and you got the band and the barkeeper.
I see the barkeeper.
Yeah, I mean, it's really pretty dynamic. It's an impressive little book. Definitely worth checking out if you're a Star Wars fan. Definitely pretty neat. It does make it makes sound effects also, although I haven't activated the batteries in it yet. But
why?
Because I don't have a little tiny screwdriver. I need a little tiny Phillips head. I got to find one of those, like, eyeglass screwdrivers.
I got one.
There you go. But yeah, and naturally, the last page is Vader.
Look at that.
Kind of like,
and you can kind of, and if you kind of open it halfway, you can see him under there. Do you see that, PD?
Really
see
cool.
him no,
under
no,
there?
No, slow it. No, do it again, but do it slow so it kind of closes.
Are they going to put another version out where it's Hayden Christensen?
But the special edition, it'll come out 6 months from now.
Well, so, that's Star Wars. Maybe they will do some other. That's just Star Wars, right?
This is Star Wars, a pop-up guide to the galaxy.
Oh, okay.
You kind of cover everything because you have the Rancor in there, so that's
Jedi.
So.
Yeah.
But definitely worth checking it out. Again, Orchard Books. Matthew Reinhardt is the author and, I guess, creator of the book.
Wow, that's
and,
a guy who has a lot of time. Because those pop-ups, those are nutty.
I saw somebody make those ones that took them like 4 to 6 weeks, on depending on how complicated it was from conception.
I can't even imagine. I can't imagine what kind of brain you have to have in order to get a fully formed Vader head to form when you open the page. That's incredible.
And so you can get this. I think Barnes & Noble, probably Amazon, I'm sure you can get it. So any
right.
good bookstore will have it. And definitely a must-have for all you Star Wars geeks.
Okay, so to conclude, Justice Series 7, Alex Ross Designs from DC Direct, contains armored Aquaman, armored Superman, Gorilla Grodd, and the Green Lantern, but it's the black Green Lantern.
John Stewart.
Right, the one Matt won't buy.
Yeah, thank you. Diamond Select, Gentle Giant, Captain Mal Reynolds, limited to 1,000 pieces, collectible bust, very nice, must-have for all of you Serenity fans out there.
I gotta pick that up. I don't know how I missed that.
And shame on Mike Levy. That's all I'm saying. Shame on him for pointing at us, bold-faced, and saying
there was nothing coming.
Nothing new coming. Shame on him.
All right. Well, you can tell him when we see
him. I'm
going to
tell him as soon as I see him at Toy Fair. And then from Orchard Books and Scholastic, you have Star Wars, A Pop-Up Guide to the Galaxy by Matthew Reinhardt. So you could check that out as well. Again, it's definitely a must-have for all of you.
All right. And we'll be right back with the wrap-up.
I've been really trying, baby.
Hey there, you sexy geek. Don't miss a single episode of Geek Stuff. Available every Monday at BigKevsGeekStuff.com. You know you want it.
Let's get it on. Let's get it on.
Fuck, fuck, fuck. Mother, motherfuck. Mother, motherfuck, fuck, motherfuck, motherfuck, noinch, noinch, noinch. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4, noinch, noinch, noinch.
Hey, this is Jason Mewes, and you are listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff. Snitch.
Who smokes the blunts? Who smokes the blunts? Rolling blunts and smoking.
Yes, bitch.
We are back.
Okay, go.
We are back. Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 87. That's Big Kev. I'm OG. Fantastic back with us after a long hiatus.
Hey.
PD in studio with us tonight.
P. PD, Puppet Disaster.
Hanging out.
Probably find him on MySpace under Puppet Disaster.
Yes.
Maybe.
Maybe. Hopefully.
Go to I'm sure he's on Geek Stuff MySpace, isn't he?
Yeah, he's on our friends list.
You can find it there.
Yeah, definitely.
We have a contest.
We do?
That we're going to announce the winner to tonight.
Wow.
This is our sponsor, the Nerd World Order.
The NWO, boys and girls.
Yes, check them out at website nerdsrule.com. NERDZ.
Z. Don't forget the Z.
Don't forget the Z. RULE.com. And the December prize winner will get a t-shirt, NWO t-shirt. Some Nerd World Order stickers, and an Aliens and Predator versus Batman and Superman graphic novel.
Nice. Was that a Dark Horse DC collaboration, I guess?
Well, it would have to be, wouldn't it? And everyone who enters the contest will be getting NWO Nerd World Order stickers, but they'll be getting the Sick As AZZ limited edition silver stickers.
Nice
with a Z. N-I-Z-E.
Like that.
Nice. So fantastic.
Yeah, baby.
Who have we chosen as the lucky December winner?
Do we want to spin the wheel?
Do we have a wheel to spin?
Or I'll just roll this die.
And the winner is Melissa Mondragon of Cypress, California.
All right.
Congratulations,
Melissa. Mondragon?
What a great geek name, too. Mondragon?
Is it 1-0 or?
1-0. Yeah, moon. Like moon, but only 1-0.
So Mondragon. What a shame. She's so close to having a really cool name.
It was probably Moondragon at some point, right?
Maybe, right?
Yeah, and they changed it.
Mondragon. Or we'll probably find out it's like Mondragon or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, all right, Miss Mondragon, you have won T-shirt, stickers, and Aliens and Predator versus Batman and Superman graphic novel. Congratulations. Now, the January prize pack
starts, already, yeah?
Right.
So they can go and enter now?
Yes, and Fantastic will tell us how they can go enter. But that person, that winner in January will receive T-shirt, stickers, and a Heroes graphic
Ooh.
Novel.
Can I enter?
I think you're ineligible.
Damn.
I was thinking of entering, too. I was thinking of going over to nerdsrule.com with a Z, clicking on the Win Free Stuff button at the top of the page, and joining the mailing list, and entering the drawing for the January prize pack in an attempt to win the Heroes graphic novel,
Zang
along with
Zidane.
The T-shirt and stickers.
There you go. Our pals over at Nerd World Order, nerdsrule.com, NERDZ, as in zebra, rule, RULE.com. So you can go over and check those guys out.
I'm entering under an alias.
Really?
Yeah, Matt.
You can enter under OG, and that would still be an alias.
True.
Why don't we wrap up the show?
All right. Tonight we talked a little bit about the Terminator film. No Arnie, no Governator for the Terminator, and that's a good thing.
Dennis O'Neill has a new book coming out about Batman called Batman Unauthorized, Vigilantes, Jokers, and Heroes, essays about Batman's motivations and things like that. They're coming out in March.
Level 4 Thief joining the cast of G.I. Joe, Marlon Wayans will be Ripcord in the upcoming Joe film.
IDW will bring us The Ghost Whisperer, Aww. Comic book based on the popular CBS TV series starring Jennifer Love Hewitt. A couple of writers and a nice artist going to make that happen. I think the preliminary art looks really good.
Hopefully I go deaf before then and I won't be able to hear whisper.
I'm just saying.
American Gladiators debuted this past week on, was it NBC? Fantastic, do you remember? Sunday nights, Monday nights. Monday nights is the regular night. You could check that out for all of your fun and entertainment. It's really mostly nostalgic, you know, because Hogan's kind of hokey.
NECA to bring us the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles as we wish we had seen them from the beginning, based on the book created by Kevin Eastman and Peter Laird. The four turtles, their original red bandanas, and sculpted and articulated in the style befitting their creators. Also rumored a possible black and white version of the characters as well, as they appeared in black and white in those early issues. It's a very exciting product. I can't wait to see it.
If you get an email that says Forbidden Heroes scenes, don't open it.
Right. Don't be like Matt. League of Extraordinary Gentlemen Black Dossier Absolute Edition will feature a 45 vinyl recording of the song Immortal Love, sung by Alan Moore himself.
Speaking of Alan Moore, he quickly signed that I, the undersigned, will give all of my money to Dave Gibbons if you take my name off this godforsaken project piece of paper and sent it back.
About the Watchmen film.
About the Watchmen film.
Absolute Sandman Volume 3, lavishly produced slipcase featuring many, many special things. I'm channeling, what's his name, from the Police Academy movies.
Sarge? Was it Sarge?
No, Bobcat Goldthwait.
No. Many.
Lesarge, yes. Isn't it Lesarge?
Lesarge. And
Commandant Lesarge, or whatever his name
and
was.
And the bloke from Punky Brewster.
Lesarge?
Yeah, there you go. Something like that.
Coming in August from DC Direct is a heck of a lot of things, not the least of which is Harley Quinn and Joker getting the deluxe collector figure treatment. These are the 12 or so inch figures they've been doing. Great articulation, full cloth character costumes, and so on and so forth. Also, the Superman Red Sun box set of action figures coming out, which will feature exclusively to this box set the Red Sun Bizarro, which is an incredibly designed figure, and I can't wait. Got to get the box set just for that.
Speaking of Superman and JLA, Weta Designs, designing the costumes for the upcoming JLA film.
Yes. And speaking of shit, Jenna Jameson Shadowhunter. 25-set preliminary zero-issue or whatever it is, featuring a really well-done cover by Greg Horn.
Does it say how many pages it is?
No.
Because I'm thinking for a quarter, that's the cheapest TP you'll find.
Wow. Virgin Comics is putting this book out. I don't get it. I thought we were past this stuff. Virgin seems to think otherwise. I don't know what to say about it. I don't understand it, but apparently I guess it'll appeal to someone.
Out on DVD this week, we have 3:10 to Yuma, starring Christian Bale, Russell Crowe, Alan Tudyk, Peter Fonda, and...
Ben Foster. Right. Sunshine. This is Danny Boyle's science fiction film with Cillian Murphy and the guy that played the Human Torch, Chris... something. Chris... guy that played the torch. Fantastic. Who played the torch in fucking Fantastic Four movies? God damn it. Death Sentence. Kevin Bacon revenge flick.
Right.
Unrated and apparently just phenomenal.
And what we believe to be challenge of the Super Friends.
Yes.
Although we're not sure on
one
that.
One with Xan and Jaina for sure.
Someone
and,
correct us, please.
Yes. And The Riches Season 1.
Right. Eddie Izzard.
And nominated Minnie Driver.
And Minnie Driver.
It was Chris Evans.
Chris Evans.
See, there we go. Right. There we go.
Chris Evans played the torch. Is also in Sunshine.
In the second segment of our show this evening, we discussed Spider-Man and the debacle that has become, or that is long running, or that is whatever.
Yes, and PD, Puppet Disaster, our pal, came in. He's intimately familiar with the goings-on of the Spider-Man book, so we brought him in tonight to kind of back us up a little bit on this discussion, because I'll read Spider-Man.
We'd like to bring the experts in on this show.
That's what I'm saying. And I said when I was talking to them, like, what are you doing tonight? You know about this stuff. Come on down and be part of the show. That's the way it works here on the program. You know, nice. A little something? We'll bring you right in.
Hell yeah. It's less that we have to say.
Hell, Starman's been on the show.
That's right.
That's what I'm saying. I love that kid.
I love that kid, too.
That said... I think this is maybe even a more blatant, glaring example of Joe Quesada's being a megalomaniac lording over this company. And I really think that if there's somebody above him, the publisher of these books should really get involved and say, wait a minute, you are really alienating more and more readers. And can you really afford to do that? I don't care if they're number one in sales. They could be number 10 in sales tomorrow if they keep up with this crap the way that they're doing it. I think it's ridiculous. I think it's just terrible turn of events. And I know I'm normally critical of Marvel But I this is sad now. This is I have a new emotion that I'm adding to my repertoire, and that is I am sad.
Aww.
Sad, because as normally I'm mad because of the things that they do, I'm really sad that this is what it's come to.
Someone give Big Kev a hug.
No. Thank you very much.
In the final segment of our show, we talked about good stuff. We did some product reviews.
And speaking of product reviews, you left off a pair from the news segment. The Poison Serenity mug.
The Poison Serenity mug.
And the Alex Ross poster of Captain America.
I'm very sorry.
Just wanted to say, we don't want to forget those.
What did you talk about in the actual product review segment of tonight's show, Kev?
I talked about Justice Series 7 from DC Direct, featuring Armored Aquaman, Armored Superman, Gorilla Grodd, and the John Stewart Green Lantern. I want to say this also. Someone's going to say that there's a sweaty John Stewart variant. I want to say that I coined it first here on this show.
Okay. You heard it.
That's it. That's right, Alex Ross. All designed by Alex Ross, based on the incredible book that they're doing. I really can't wait to read it. Like I said, I've been thumbing through them, but I'm not sit-down hardcore reading it until they collect it. Written by Jim Kruger, I should say, also.
Ooh.
Plotted and so forth by our pal Jim Kruger.
Star Wars, A Pop-Up Guide to the Galaxy by Orchard Press. I think that's a subsidiary or somehow associated with Scholastic. Written and designed by Matthew Reinhardt. You should check that out if you're a Star Wars fan or a pop-up book fan. And it's definitely intricate. It's definitely worthwhile. We also talked about the Sculpted by Gentle Giant, distributed by Diamond Select, Captain Mal Reynolds, limited to 1,000 pieces, collectible bust.
Ooh, that's a lot.
I did. I got a little out, though.
It's a big show.
I got a bit of a headache now, though.
And you can check us out each and every week by going over to BigKevsGeekStuff.com.
You can.
You can read all sorts of blogs and things that we have going
on
there. You can buy a Ron Paul t-shirt.
You can buy a Ron...
Apparently.
You can also download the Sam Jones and Melody Anderson commentary.
For Flash Gordon,
for
the
Flash Gordon
movie, yes. You can purchase a limited edition DVD.
That's right.
It has some video elements to that as well.
So check us out. Don't forget, if you check us out on iTunes, leave us a review. If you like what you're seeing on the website, dig us so that we get a little bit more notoriety. And if you play WoW on the Kirin Tor server, look for the Geek Stuff Guild because it's
the
up and
Geek
running.
Geek Stuff Guild up and running on the Kirin Tor server, World of Warcraft. You can reach us individually. OG is Light, LYYTE.
Correct.
And I am Blue Devil with two L's on the end, BlueDevill.
Right.
And PD, you got something? Oh, no?
No,
okay.
I think he's just helping Mr.
No,
PD,
you can check out PD over at MySpace. Look for Puppet Disaster. I'm sure you'll find him there somewhere. And fantastic.
Yes, Big Kev.
You have
what
something
is it?
To close the episode with, I
Well,
see.
When I arrived here today, our friend OG Matt bestowed upon me a wrapped gift.
I'd like to point out that I gave Fantastic his gift last week.
Okay. I didn't see him last week.
Right, I'm just saying.
Well, it's just me and you here.
Are you going to at least tell people what the gift is before you open that one?
No. We'll open that next week.
Fine.
So, there's no... You're not going to give any kind of pretense here? That's it? I just
opened it
up? It's
a package. It looks about 12 inches long. It's...
2 inches wide.
Some sort of...
I hope that you appreciate this. Mr. Fantastic.
This better not be in the shape of a fist.
I assure you it's not.
Oh, that got re-gifted.
I'm gonna close my eyes while opening it.
Okay.
So when I open it, I just get it in one shot.
There you go.
Wow, where'd you find an action figure of Fantastic?
I don't know.
Whoa! This is even better than a Mr. Fantastic.
This is
a Marvel Legends Punisher icon series.
Yep.
That's the 12-inch hyper-articulated Legends Punisher from the Icon series.
Based on the artwork of...
Yes.
Oh, balls. I don't remember.
It doesn't say.
Oh, yeah. It doesn't say?
Yeah, I can see the picture.
It's Warzone, right?
Yeah.
It's not Fabry.
It's not Fabry?
Is it Fabry? Maybe it's Fabry?
I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know. It's a fancy-looking figure.
You should just cut
for it. For a fancy-looking man.
Well, thank you, Matt.
You're welcome. Merry Christmas, Mr. Fantastic.
There you go. And with that, I guess we'll bring episode 87.
Thank God.
To a close without a name.
All right.
Yes. I don't like the without a name thing. I don't like it.
Lost in Numerigan.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's where we're going to be.
And on that note, we cue the music.
Spider-Man, Spider-Man, does whatever a spider can. Spins a web any size, catches thieves just like flies. Look out, here comes the Spider-Man. Is he strong? Listen, bud. He's got radioactive blood. Can he swing from a thread? Take a look overhead. Hey there, there goes the Spider-Man. In the chill of night, at the scene of a crime, by the street of light, he arrives just in time. Spider-Man, Spider-Man, friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. Welcome fame, he's ignored. Action is his reward to him. Life is a great big bang. Wherever there's a hang up, you'll find a Spider-Man.